something beautiful, but it seems to be where God just keeps planting my heart and I can't get away from it. I can't just move on. It's just one of those things where you just drop anchor again, you know, put down the sail and say, all right, Lord, we're going to sail here a little bit longer. But then as I read over here and I said, Lord, bring, you know, and as I read, boy, just amazing. The Word of God is so rich, so sweet. And you can read something 1,000 times and read it again and just boom, there's just something else greater and more wonderful and something sweeter to taste, something to sink your teeth into. And he's writing here to believers here. And the glorious truths that we find are written in these pages. And I'm just going to read real quick over here in Ephesians where I was digging a little bit last week. If I can find my right paper here. Get my notes together. Remember, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, they had loved one to another and to all the saints. In Ephesians 3, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So this love, and then we find the same at the end of the letter in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and now abideth faith, love, and charity. But the greatest of these was charity, which is love. And as we read here in 1 John, let me get back with you. Chapter 2, we see here, and let's just read verse 1 and we'll read into it. My little children, these things write we unto. And do you think it's coincidence we've heard this? The kids, this is their memory verses. Remember this? And we've been hearing it again and again. There's something here for all of us here if we listen. And my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. That ain't my book. I put that in there. It just ain't that good. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know Him. Listen. We do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar. God calls you a liar if you don't. And the truth is not in Him. And whoso keepeth His word in Him, verily, is the love of God perfected. And remember the word perfected means completed. He's completing Himself in every one of His youngins. So, and as we, that hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk. And there's another word I got digging into. Now listen to this, abideth. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. The word abideth here means to stay in a given place, state, or a relation or expectancy. To abide, continue, to dwell, to endure, be present. But you hear what the verse says? It means to stay, abide in Him. Remember, it's not you get in on Sunday, then go do your own thing through the week. No, you stay grounded and rooted in Him. It's something you're grounded and rooted every day, every hour in your mind. Your mind is abiding in Him. So, abideth. He that saith he abideth Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Can we walk as Jesus? We're not Jesus, but we do have Him in us. He lives inside us. And as we're submissive to Him, He is able to reach out through us. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His voice. And everywhere we're at, we can be that for the Lord. So we look at the next verse. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because that darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Talking about Christ, the gospel's sake. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. So can you be in the light and hate your brother? No. So if you have that welled up, if you have ought towards someone that you just can't seem to get over that hump, God says you have a problem. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's that word abideth. In other words, he continues. He stays there. It's a given place. In other words, a place where a state of mind where you stay. You're not moved. You're not, well, I'm in, I'm out, and I'm drifting, and I just can't seem to get it together. I just can't seem to get in the Word. I just can't seem to pray, and then I'm praying, and I'm out. It's a place we've learned to abide in, abiding in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. Now, this same, remember when you was lost? Did you walk around and feel like a lost person? It was just normal, wasn't it? It was just, you got up, you did your thing, you went to bed, and it was the same. You was lost. You did as lost people, you acted lost, you thought as lost, you did as a lost person. You were a sinner, blinded because you didn't see. But once you seen truth, something happened. A light come on. Something changed. And then you lit the light in. Now you're really different. I've even tried to go back where I come from. You ever tried putting a watermelon in a pea patch? You know how it stands out? I didn't fit no more. I could act like it. I could fit in, rub shoulders with them. But boy, inside I was a mess. I did not fit no more with the world. Because I was different. I was different. Then he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. And write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. In other words, the word of God stays in you. The word of God's rooted and grounded in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. My doings? No, his doings. I'm here because of him. Now, we've seen things that we need to love the church, love the Bible, love your brethren, love one another. Now we're going to get into things that we shouldn't love. So if there's a positive state, things that we should love, there are things that we shouldn't love. Let's look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if the love of the Father is not in someone, so let's get some feedback here. What is love not the world? Give me some input. What do you think that means, love not the world? Anybody? Well, that's part of it. What else? Give me some feedback. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. There's another one. Some people are controlled by coveting. Yes. And it's that where Jesus himself said, thou can't serve two masters, either love one or hate the other. You can't do them both. And we're torn here. I mean, we live in a country that covets. Billboards here, commercials, man, you can't even go through a Cabela's and, well, I gotta get out of here. God help me. Yeah, I'm a mess. Yeah. And it's like they put the candy aisles, the last aisle going out. You need groceries to live, so you get groceries. Where do they put the candy aisle? Huh? Because they got youngins. You got youngins dragging them out. Why they put it right there? Because they know your youngins are going to covet. They're taught to covet. We live in a country that just, I want, I want, I want, I want, and I'm never satisfied. Give me more, give me more. But the world here is the system of the world. What got Adam and Eve to fall? They had perfect health, perfect diet, perfect fellowship with God. They could walk naked and their minds were perfect. Go figure that one out. They were perfect. What got them to fall? Huh? She coveted. She saw and saw that it was good, she thought. Saw that it made one wise. I could be as God. And she took. Then she gave. Coveting. Coveting is a poison that Christmas time's coming up. Well, kids are really coveting now. Boy, I know what I want for Christmas. I know I'm, shoot, I know the adults had said, boy, I know what I want for Christmas. You know, it's a, what was Christmas all about? Christmas was about, I don't know how I'm getting here, but it deals with this, but Christmas is about who gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's about Him giving His dearest thing to Him, which was His only begotten Son. So I don't know how all the coveting got tied in with, because that's what we've turned it into. It's a big coveting. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. Now let's look at this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, so that is that in particular just to a certain amount of people? That throws all of us in the same pot. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you're sitting here and you got the love, I wish I was back out in the world. I wish I had this. I wish, boy, if I had what they had, I'd be happy. Maybe you just don't know the Lord after all. It says that love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's some proof in the pudding here for a true child of God. Inside of you, you have this sin nature, yes, but there's somebody else been living there ever since you called on Him that's moved in. And He don't love the world. He don't love the things that are in the world. He loves the things of God. I know that's a tough one for all of us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is in him. Let's look at the next verse 16. For all that is in the world, here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Them three things, it's the trinity of the devil, what he uses against us. We have the trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Lord. Well, this is the devil's trinity. And here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So, the lust of our flesh, our flesh, we are the most unhappiest people. Boy, if I had a good, healthy back, boy, I could just be just wonderful. Yeah, I could fix a lot of my problems probably. But nevertheless, there's part of me that, but there's another part, I might not be standing here right now. I might have went from one factory to another and never even got off course where I could have plowed myself in God's Word and learned. Because God, everybody's different. God don't make no mistakes. And God puts you in a predicament sometimes on purpose so you can learn. And I am probably more stubborn than anybody sitting here because I know me. Well, see, you know you. Amen, brother. At least being honest. Amen. I know me. And some of us just got to be really just stomped down good. Mom had to whoop me more than once. I'll put it that way. But for all this and all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and here we go. Everything our eyes do. What should our eyes see? Not a billboard down South 465.
That's right.
But that's what they want to throw at you.
That's right.
Get you to ponder on it. Get you to think about it. That's what it's there for.
Right.
So, the lust of the eye, our eyes is prone to rage. As Eve looked and saw that the fruit, that it was forbidden. I can't touch this. She knew, was warned by God. She knew. She even told the old serpent, says, I can't eat this. I will surely die. I will die if I eat this. She knew the outcome. She was forbidden to eat of it. But the devil's always, well, it ain't that bad. God just don't want you to be like He is. Would God do that? Would God do that? Would God keep something from you? So she's questioning God. Now I'm going to throw this in just since I'm here. What has the devil tried to do to this book? What's he tried to do? He's tried to destroy it, for one. But he's constantly changing what it says. Pulling the blood out, the Virgin Mary out, pulling all these key things that we stand on and believe in, and the devil's pulling them out. So what did he do with Eve? He changed what God said. So what's he do with us? If I see something, well, maybe I do need that. And we'll try to compromise in a way to make ourselves desire to figure out how to get it. Well, maybe I really do need this. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Devil's king. He's been at it for a while, okay? So he's caught us off guard. I'm 51, so I've had 51 years to figure out me, and I still ain't got it figured out. And you ain't figured out you neither. The devil's been at it for quite a few years, and that's just here on earth, let alone going before God. So he's got a lot of knowledge. But nevertheless, what does 1 John 4:4 say? What's it say? Read it to me, somebody. Let somebody quote it to me.
You are God, and children have overcome Him, because greater is He that is in you.
What? Say that louder.
Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world.
Amen. Amen. Same world that we just talked about. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And who's part of the world system? The devil is.
Right.
He's our enemy. So anything he can do to get us off course doing something for God, that's how he's going to do it.
Right.
The lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes. And we ain't gotten to the pride of life yet, but that's how he does it. And the most incontent, the more grumbler you've ever been in your life is when you've coveted after something. And you didn't get it. And you didn't get it. That's the devil, man. He's hunting. He's a hunter. How can I? Whew. I missed. But he's always shooting. He's always trying something different. You think he's an imaginary foe? No, he's not. If he come to Jesus tempting him when he's fasted 40 days and 40 nights, says, I'll be the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Yeah. And Jesus, do you think he was hungry? He was starving to death. Angels had to come minister to him. He couldn't even get up on his own by his own flesh. He had to be ministered to. But he did the same thing there. He went after his flesh, his eyes, and the pride of life. Well, you bow down and worship me, I'll give all these things. Devil's king, and he holds no love for the people of God.
Right.
None whatsoever. So, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What do you think this pride of life means? I'm just going to get on a little bit. You ever see someone do something good and they got to make sure everybody knows they did it? I did it. I was glad I did it. I was proud of myself. And then I realized, boy, you stuck your foot in your mouth, you big dummy. Yeah. Open the mouth, insert the foot. Yeah. But we do. We want that pat on the back. We desire it, but it's real hard just to do something and you know, but that's what we need to do. We got one that's watching, and he's not imaginary neither. We got to realize he's watching every second, every hour, every day, and he's pleased when we do good, and he's sad when we do bad. We grieve him just as much as the devil's happy when we fall down and slip. And God's wanting to pull us up, so get up, youngin', get up. Righteous man falleth down, but rises up again. So, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the thing, with the world passes away in the luster of, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will of God? What is the will of God for you? For your life? Anybody. This can't be a wrong answer here. Ain't it? There's one. We talked about things we ought to love. And I found all them scriptures on the things we ought to love. Loving our brother. Loving the church. Loving his word. Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your... Your soul is part of your intellect. That deals with your mind. So when you're tempted to covet things or you're tempted, you realize, no, I don't need that. Don't need it. I got what I have need of. Or that makes God a liar. It's real hard to be content with a van don't have heat. I understand it. I'm going to put a wood stove up. It got all these diesel trucks, these big pipes out, you know, sticking out the back of their tailgate of their truck or whatever. I'm going to put one out the top of that minivan and we'll put coal in it and put wood stove in it, warm everybody up and just do this to everybody. Hillbilly rigging. So we have, visitors are back again. Amen. Good to see you. They're really newlyweds too. Been married in June. Amen. So we see, being content and waiting on God is another thing. And that's another toughie. And we need God's wisdom to know the difference of when those things change. When we're coveting after something we really don't need or desiring something that we really do need. I mean, that's a need. God said, he shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And it said, God shall provide all your needs. There's the key. He shall provide. So it's in the mail. He's working on it. God's working on it. So as the infinite man rose up and took up his bed and walked, we pick up our lives every day and walk in the Spirit of God, that God help us to bear fruit for his glory and his honor. And that's what all this is about. Loving things that we need to love and to realize the things that devil puts in our path and realize things we shouldn't love. And this word here, pride, means braggadocio, means braggadocious. That's where we get that word from. Ain't that something? And by implication, self-confidence is not bad, not when it boasts itself up. So, boy, you see what I did? Ain't I something? Or somebody thinks they're a know-it-all and they think they know everything. You ever met people like that and you can't even get a word in edgewise? They got an answer for everything. And it's like, Lord help us, Jesus. And you know, and some folks are that way. But that's what that means. Pride, the pride of life. And six things that the Lord hate, seven are abomination to Him. Proverbs 6:16, what's it say? What is it? A proudful look is the number one on the list. It just, God just don't hate it. He says He totally detests it. It's abomination. Sodomy is abomination before God. Murder is abomination before God. He puts that proud look. So it's something we fight against within ourselves and to watch ourselves. So, a proud look. So, let's get ready to pray here. So we see, love not the world, neither the things that are world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love. And the fruit of the Spirit, number one on the list, is love. So there's the right type of love we need to have. And to love God. And we heard it last week when Brother Michael got up. He quoted John 13:35-36. He says, a new commandment I leave unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Then shall they know ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. So there's that unity, that love one for another, that God desires to have in us. That he's in, and he was leaving it to him before he, and now mind you here, he was getting ready to be arrested when he told his disciples this. He's getting ready to go die for us. And he leaves him, he says, oh, stay strong in the Lord, keep your faith in God. He says, no, a new commandment I leave unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So how the Lord love us? He give His all for us. So how do we love one another? We give our all for one another. We love one another, care for one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, to God, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. And thank You. It's so precious, Lord, that we learned it. Simple words that we read over and then we park on them. Like the word abideth means to stay. It's a state of mind we stay in. Lord, help us to stay rooted and grounded in Your Word. Not just here, Lord, but every hour of every day through the week, that we may bring glory and honor to You, dear God. And when we see our loved ones and see our neighbors that have need, that are lost, dear God, we can reach out to them and share Your love that You showed us and show them who You are. Because we're just mailmen for You, Lord. We just deliver what You've given us. So help us, dear God. Help us to listen now as the preaching hour comes. Help us to sing and to worship You, dear God. Help us to put all our problems outside of these doors and just look to You and love You. For You are surely worthy. You did so much for us. You give Your all for us, dear God. Help us to give just a little bit back. Lord, to have Your will and way now in every heart and life. Save that soul nearest hell and the one walking afar off. Bring him back close again. And maybe someone just questioning their salvation. Lord, let this hour right now be the day they get that settled. And we'll thank You for that, dear God. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.